Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. And thank you for showing up for yourself. We've got a really good show lined up. I'm very excited about it. Our guest tonight is David Tyerman. And the topic is how to create a kick-ass brand. And, you know, we were just talking before the show, and I'm always impressed when our guest shows up from a place in their heart where they're completely present. And there's a whole different dialogue that happens when you show up that way. And the seasoned listener to this show understands that we're all about growing your potential, your power, and your purpose. It's a curious thing, this human experience we're all participating in. It's somehow we've taken our soul and shoehorned it into a physical human body. And I love the perspective of the soul, because a soul is anchored in the truth in the sense that there is no fear. There's no fear of what might or might not happen. The soul understands that the truth of you is permanent and cannot be touched by the physical realm. But another curious aspect about the soul, of which you are, is infinite possibilities, infinite potential, like a river of inspiration that wants to flow in you, through you, as you, in the most genuine and authentic way. The gift I think that is so nice about that authentic gene, that element within you that knows who you are, that knows why you're here, even though perhaps you might not know it from the perspective of your ego. When you can get your ego to trust your soul, your heart, with that vision it has for your life, well, then all bets are off. I mean, the limitations of where your life can go fall away. It's a curious thing how the ego, left unchecked, can really quell or silence that dream from becoming fulfilled. So often I see people live one day to the next without a lot of difference. It's almost like they're treading water. And sometimes they choose that because it makes the outcome predictable. We choose to play it safe to make sure that we know how the outcome is going to go. But in truth, if you're just repeating the past, there's real no power in that. There's no genuine sense of resiliency to change, because playing it safe is a repetition of a singular pattern, a singular choice point, if you will. But the topic tonight, we're talking about that entrepreneurial spirit, that desire to make a difference in the language, in the story of where humanity is going. And we're all here with a gift. We're all here with a purpose. And when you can honor that, your life becomes electric. Your life becomes genuine and authentic. And when you meet people that come from that space, they exude a heartfelt space that transcends any story they're speaking to you. It's almost like you connect on a whole different level. Well, let's get to the show. I met David Tyerman at a CEO Space convention, and I was very touched by his material. He has a way of pulling out of you simple, eloquent language about who you are and what you do. He's worked with businesses to really kick up the impact of their brand, and he basically wrote the book on what creating a brand is all about. I don't want to waste any more time and bring him on the show. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here, Les.
So you came to the United States with the classic American dream, and from that space, you've built this business. How did that go for you when it first started out?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you that story, but for everybody listening, can I just start with just a little something about, I want to follow on from something you said just a few seconds ago.
Sure.
About a brand. So you were just sharing about how every single person has a gift and a purpose. And so with that in mind, for everybody listening, I hope you've got a notepad and a pen handy, because I'm going to be sharing some really, I'm going to be sharing information about creating a brand that most businesses don't know, that most businesses need to know. And hopefully after today, you'll start spotting those businesses and people that think they've got a brand, but they really don't, because they're not focusing on those gifts and on that purpose. Because when it all boils down, that's what a brand is. It's putting your gifts and your purpose, whether an individual or people who decided to create a company, into reality. And I'm gonna ask you, Les, if you can think back when you were a boy, and I'm asking everybody listening, think back when you were a young child, what brands can you remember that you just had to have, that you begged your parents or your grandparents for, or you saved up your pocket money to purchase? Can you remember the brands you just had to have?
Disneyland.
Disneyland. Perfect. So you begged family to take you to Disneyland, is that right?
Well, it was surreal. It was hard to wrap my noggin around how wonderful it was, even though I had never been there.
So everybody listening, I want you to just write down those brands that you knew you had to have. And I'm going to tell you, I'm from England, so I'd never even heard of Disneyland when I was growing up. And I was always into food, I still am. And so I'm going to share a brand that most people will not have heard of, but it's a relish, and it's called Branston Pickle. I've got probably 6 or 7 jars of it in my house right now, because I can never, ever run out of Branston. And they used to have a jingle when I was a kid, and it went something like, bring out the Branston. And Branston is this relish. You have it with salads, you have it with sandwiches, you have it with pies. You can have it with anything, really. And we used to sit at the table, and Mum would put the food out, and then we would sing, bring out the Branston. And she'd be, oh, yes. And she'd go and get the Branston, and she'd put it on the table. And I loved it. And one day, we sang, bring out the Branston, and she's like, oh, we're out. We've run out. And we're like, no. And she goes, don't worry, I'll call Dad and get him to pick some up on the way home from work. So she calls my dad. He agrees. But on the way home, he's about home and realizes he forgot to pick it up. So he goes to the local corner store near our house. And they didn't have any Branston, so he bought the generic brand. And I'll always remember, it always stands out to me that we're sitting at the table and in he comes with this brown paper bag and he pops it in the middle of the table. I grabbed it, put my hand in, and pull out this bottle of, what's this? Where's the Branston? And he's like, they didn't have any, so this is the next best thing. And I was like, it ruined my day. I was really upset. And so anyway, the reason I'm sharing this is because I'm only talking about something as everyday as relish. And there are some supermarkets that you go to, there's a whole aisle just of relishes, all sorts of brands, all sorts of flavors. But out of all of that host of choices, I knew I had to have Branston pickle. And for everybody listening who wrote down a brand that you knew you had to have as a child, I'm just here to tell you that somewhere deep inside you've known this since you were a child, that out of a host of choices, a sea of choices, there was that one brand you had to have. So therefore, by default, what I'm here to say is, therefore, you can be or create that brand that people want to choose, despite knowing there's a sea of choices. You can move beyond that awful feeling of competition and know that you have a brand that people just want to have because they just relate and they connect and they identify with what you've created. And we all walk around this earth bumping into friends, making new connections, and hear people say things like, oh, I love Prada, or I just love the Mini Cooper, but they're using the word love with the word brand. So what really gets me excited, and I think one of the reasons I'm involved and I've been involved with creating brands for the majority of my adult life, is that idea that people can love something that you create. It's not just about selling something and making the buck. It's about creating something that people can love. You can change people's lives by creating a brand, and you can create a brand that stands apart from everyone else in such a powerful way that people want yours. And so I wanted to share that first before I even talk about my story, because that's what I want you listening for today. That's what I want you writing notes about how you, whether you're creating a brand for yourself at work, a brand for yourself in business, or a brand for your company, you can have a brand that people absolutely want despite knowing there's a lot of choices. So now I'll answer your question, Les.
Fair enough.
Because my journey was not a simple straight line by any means. I was in England. I was miserable. I hated my job. I wasn't happy. I was in my young 20s, and I came on vacation to the United States with a friend of mine, and I'd learned about the United States in geography, and I knew I had to come and visit, and I fell in love. And in fact, one thing I say in most of my presentations, the most powerful brand that I'm aware of is Brand America, because it's such a powerful brand. It made me pack my bags and leave England and change my entire life to be in America, to experience living here. It's a very powerful brand. It makes people change their destiny. So we had this idea, my friend and I. We had no business training. We had no money really behind us. We sold everything we had. And our big idea was to bring vintage things and antiques from England and sell them the way people sell Tupperware, so antique parties in people's homes. And within the first 6 months, we were down to our last $20 because people just didn't buy. And we didn't have a big inventory, but we would go to people's houses, we'd have cheese and wine, we'd do a little presentation, and people would eat the cheese and drink the wine, then they'd look at the prices, and then they'd go home, and no one bought anything. And we were really concerned, and we got down to our last $20, and we had something worse than bad credit. We had no credit. So we had no credit cards, no overdraft facility, no friendly bank manager. We were down to our last $20 in the entire world. And it was a Tuesday, and we were living in Huntington Beach in Orange County at the time, and we put that $20 bill on the table in front of us, the kitchen table, and stared at it. It seemed like a long time, and then finally I said to him, I said, do you have any ideas? He said, no. Do you? I said, well, all I can think of is on Main Street, there's that bar, and they sell all the beer you can drink for $7 on Tuesday nights, and it's Tuesday. Let's go. And so off we went. We were there as they opened. And we slapped our 20 on the bar, and we said, we'll do two of the all-you-can-drink beers. And they also had nachos and cheese for $2 and something. So we said, we'll have two of those too. So we spent the whole 20. It was gone. And as we drank our beer, we talked and we talked and we talked about the adventure, the journey we'd been on to get that far. We talked about all the people who tried to rip us off, and there'd been a lot. And we talked to all the people who tried to help us, and there had been a few. We talked and talked, and the more beer we drank, I started becoming more gregarious, and I turned to the bartender, tenderess, and I said, you know, we just spent our last $20 in the whole world here. And she goes, why? This bar's crap. And I said, well, because it's the only place we could afford. And she's like, well, I better get you guys a shot. So she started pouring the shots. And then she started telling the other bartenders, these two guys, they just spent their last $20 in the whole world in our bar. So the other bartenders, do you want some appetizers, guys? Let me buy you a shot. And they were treating us to all sorts of things. And then they started telling some of the locals, these two guys have spent their last $20 in the whole world. And they're like, what are you going to do? And we started telling them our stories. And we had a brilliant night. It's a night I'll never, ever forget. And at the end of the evening, when they closed the bar, I remember in my drunken stupor, I remember crying because I couldn't tip them. I had no money. And the girl that we'd been talking to the most, she's like, don't worry, guys. You're great. What an amazing, amazing adventure you've been on so far. And she goes, listen, look around this bar. And I look, she goes, everybody's broke in here. But they've just been sitting here. We've just been working in this bar. You've been on this amazing adventure. And I was like, you're right. And I'm loving it. And then this guy who had not said a word all night, sitting down the bar, he said, do you guys want to ride home? And he owned a limousine company, and he took us home in the back of a brand spanking new limousine that night. And I remember being in the back thinking, this is brilliant. I love this. And he, when he dropped us off, he said, listen, you only fail if you quit. And that has always stuck in my head. You only fail if you quit. And so the next morning, that was the day I'd been dreading, waking up penniless. And I'd been scared to death of that day. But finally it was here, and actually I woke up and I was relieved. And I felt two ears, two eyes, and I'm alive. I'm just broke. And then something just came over me, and I really realized something that I guess it took being penniless to realize. And I jumped out of bed, I went through to the kitchen, and there was my business partner, and he literally looked like he'd been beaten up. He looked like a broken man. And I remember saying, listen, anyone will forgive you if you want to go back to England today. Anybody. For all the things we've been through, all the things that have gone wrong, I'll forgive you, but I'm staying. I am going to find a way to make this business work, and I have no clue how, but I'm not going. I'm making a vow to make this work. And he looked at me and he's like, you know what? I'm staying. So now I'm going to fast forward the tape a few years. Because from being completely penniless and hungover, I've got to make sure I mention that. We were very hungover that day. From being in that place, 7 years later, we were multi-millionaires, but more importantly, we'd built a brand that was world famous, and we were helping create and improve brands for some of the best-known companies on the planet, because we'd realized that the antique parties don't work, and we thought, well, where can we sell these things? We haven't sold anything. We have inventory, and we noticed that retailers, department stores, all sorts of business used vintage things that we had for in-store displays and window displays and things like that. So we started walking into stores, and we got walked out of a few. They didn't want people trying to sell right on the retail space, but we soon learned who to talk to. And little by little, we started selling until we started to make a name for ourselves. And so, like I said, to cut a long story short, if you've ever been into a Polo, a Ralph Lauren store, and seen all the trophies and the mountain bikes and the skis and the trunks, everything that tells the story of their brand, my company, we called it Propaganda, we supplied every Ralph Lauren store on the planet. We did millions and millions and millions of dollars of business creating the brand story and telling the brand story for all of their stores. And we did it for Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, Nautica, Nordstrom, Macy's, Citibank, Land Rover. We did it for so many stores, Sears, Talbots, Levi's. We had a line out the door because, and then we also got so much media. We got on CNN, the front page of the Wall Street Journal, thousands of magazines, newspapers, TV shows, blogs, you name it. Not just for being successful, but for how we created our brand. So that's what happened. That was the journey. And so I learned through absolute necessity how to build a brand and the steps that we have to take. And people started asking me once my business was a $20 million company, people would ask me regularly, how did you do this? How did you build this brand? What happened? It seemed to have happened in 5 minutes. And so I started putting my steps down in writing. And then I started speaking at events. People asked me to speak about it. And I found I really loved speaking. And then I realized that my biggest love was creating my own brand. And that's what I want to help people with. So I ended up selling Propaganda in the year 2000, created a business called the World Famous Company, because if you're going to create a brand, let's make it world famous. And it doesn't mean it has to be a household name. World famous in your market. World famous to the people that you need to be known by to do business with. And so that's what I do. That's what our company does, is help businesses get clear and people get clear on how to create a brand that people buy from, that people create a relationship with, that people say, I love that brand and I'm spending my money with that brand.
Well, you know, I listen to that story, and before you made that transition to a successful business, you had tried all these things and they just didn't work out, and yet within you is that potential. When you work with clients, do you kind of see past their perhaps their own excuses or a lack of belief in themselves, and see a more sense of value in who they are and what they offer?
You know, it's like this. The funny thing is, sometimes when my clients work with me, and there's a host of different ways that clients can work with me, which I can share later, but sometimes people say, wow, I decided to work with you or buy one of your programs because I needed a brand, but you're like a business therapist. And I've been told it so many times that I guess it's the truth, because it's kind of like this. Sometimes we can look at someone else's brand and their tagline, their brand communication, their brand message, their brand experience, their brand story, all the things that go into a brand, and think, wow, that's fantastic, I love it. But then sometimes my job is really to listen very carefully and help people pick out the gold and the diamonds and the value in what they really have. And sometimes when I pick the mirror up and reflect back saying, this is what makes you amazing, sometimes people do think, is that it? And it's easy to think that when it's just a few words. It's kind of like panning for gold. You go through a lot of dirt, a lot of just stuff, until you get the gold, till you come to that small nugget that can be worth so much. So sometimes people do feel like, oh, is this it? Is this good enough? And I always sort of use an analogy of when I used to go snow skiing in Europe when I lived in England. And for anyone who's ever gone snow skiing, if you've ever bought a pair of ski boots, when you first put them on, they hurt. It's not like going and buying a regular pair of shoes. You put those boots on, and they tell you, before you go skiing, you need to walk around the house in them for about 10 days to work them in. And it hurts. It really hurts. And I remember walking around in my ski boots, and like, God, these better start feeling good soon, because I can't ski in this. And after about 10 days, they felt fantastic. But you've got to go through that discomfort, uncertainty, before you really own them, before they're yours, before you really realize, oh, I can go a long way with this. So yes, that's part of the problem. Sometimes people are trying to come up with something so grand that it's not believable. We need brands that people can relate to and connect with in their hearts. They need to feel safe and comfortable. So we need a brand that is authentic and real, and not gimmicky or larger than life, so to speak. It needs to come from truth. So
right.
There is some hand holding along the way sometimes.
Well, you know, and I get the sense that perhaps that a client might try to showcase something that they see perhaps, you know, glamorous or flashy or blingy, in the sense of trying to be appealing to the sales or buying environment. But I really liked what you said, where it's like, no, it can be a very simple thing, and it's always authentic. I always like that authentic take to it. When we're going to present ourselves to others, I think that authentic thread is what registers in others as the truth of who they are.
Yeah, we have to, you know, I want to just tell you, there's an important distinction between a brand and marketing. In order to market well, you need to know what your brand is. But a lot of companies, well, I have a saying, and I say, and I would recommend people write this down, actually, because it can really help you realize, a little aha moment. And so here's my saying. It is, without a brand, you are simply a vendor. Without a brand, you are simply a vendor. And then the kind of tongue-in-cheek joke is, and vending is for machines. So if you don't have a brand, you might as well just be a vending machine. You could be good at marketing and make sales. I'm not saying you won't make sales without a brand, but you'll just be selling. You are not creating a relationship with your customer. You are not going to have people saying, oh, I love buying from this company, because you're just vending product or service. And
right.
It doesn't give you any value. It doesn't give you any value in people's minds or hearts. So and a lot of times people complain, oh, people are so fickle these days. They're always about price. That's not true, unless you've trained them to do that. So I'm not saying price isn't important. Price is important. However, look at Apple. They aren't the cheapest by any means. And this is a brand that was nowhere just a few years ago. So because people love Apple and what it represents to them, they're prepared to pay the price. So it's about authenticity and truth. So when I talk about a brand rather than being a vendor, here's something that everybody has to really understand. And this is something, again, this is only about 1% of businesses understand this. the piece of information I'm about to share. So we need to, all of us, understand the distinction between what's called branding versus what we call brand identity or brand DNA. So I'm going to share now the distinction between branding and brand DNA or brand identity. I'll start with branding because all of us touch branding every single day of our lives, because branding is the packaging on products. Branding is advertising you see on TV or on the internet. Branding is your website. Branding is any videos you create. Branding is even your message, your voicemail message, the signature on your email. So anything that a business does to try to get the attention of customers is called branding. And there's a never-ending list of things that companies do to touch customers. Some companies go to trade shows. Some companies hire planes to fly with their banners trailing off the back of them. Some companies print their name on the side of a pen. There's a myriad ways of seeing branding. But the problem is 99% of businesses and people jump into their branding without knowing what their brand identity is, without being clear about their brand identity. So most of my time in my business is spent helping a business or a person get absolutely crystal clear about what their brand identity is or brand DNA is, because once you know your brand DNA, you are finally qualified to create branding that might actually resonate powerfully with your potential customers. That's why so much branding that we get or see is literally crap, that it doesn't work. We ignore it. It's boring. It doesn't connect with us. It doesn't mean anything. And I'm all big on busting myths too. The number of people who pay big money to have a logo designed and then think, I've got a brand now. No, you don't. You don't. A logo is not a brand. People don't buy from you because of your logo. People don't buy logos. People buy experiences. And you might want to write that one down too. People buy experiences. And the experience that you deliver, the feeling that you deliver, the idea that you stand for, is what really steers everything. So the logo is just think of a logo as a street sign. It tells people that they're in the right place. That's all it is. It's important. Street signs are really important. But they're less important these days with navigation. And that's what your logo is about, helping people see that they're in the right place. But they need to know what the right place is first. Sure. So your brand message is way more important. We don't need street signs until we know, oh, I need to go to Las Vegas. How do I get there? And you're driving along the freeway. Look, Las Vegas, 73 miles. We're going the right way. Great. So that's what your logo's for. And I think I went off on a big tangent there, Les, so I'm going to let you pull me back in wherever you want to.
No worries. Well, so you've had experience over and over again with people looking for finding their brand identity. Is there any examples
that
you can share of the differences?
Yes, I'm going to tell you a brand story actually of a client who I worked with recently, and I joke about this client because when I speak from the stage, I say, this is the saddest branding story that you'll ever hear. So before they worked with me, they were called Kokona. And Kokona are based in Boulder, Colorado, a very good company, great people. And what they created at Kokona is a finish that goes on clothing, so you can't see it. It's an invisible product. But when you do sports, like let's say you run, you go jogging, what it does, most finishes that have been created before Kokona are man-made. They are based on chemical, and they do what they call wick sweat. Whereas Kokona is a natural process that actually comes from a coconut, and it doesn't wick sweat, it vaporizes sweat. And because it's natural as opposed to man-made, if you are, let's say, snow skiing, again, as an example, and you need to be warm, if you put a Kokona finished T-shirt on and then another Kokona product on top of that, the results are exponential in their ability to vaporize moisture. So people stay dry when they use products with Kokona on them. And they were doing well. In some people's estimation, they were doing $8 million a year in sales, but they bought me in because they knew that their brand was not right. And before I went to visit them, I looked at their website, and I saw big coconut husks, the big brown hairy coconut shell with the coconut hairs on it. When I went to see them, their tagline, they would have a brochure, and they had the hang tags that went on garments, coconuts. Everything was coconuts. And in fact, their sales presentation was explaining how a coconut fiber worked, how it had these amazing abilities to vaporize moisture. So the first thing I did when I sat down, I said, you know, I live in Las Vegas now, but at the time we lived in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I said, you know, I just flew in from Hawaii, and when I see coconuts the way you present them, I'm thinking pina coladas. I'm thinking suntan lotion, coconut suntan lotion. The last thing I'm thinking about is running or cycling or snow skiing. There's something really wrong here. And
right,
so
yeah.
To cut a long story short, one of the things I always tell people, until you have a relationship with somebody, until they are your customer, it's kind of against the law, the unwritten law of branding. We must never, ever dare to ask people to think in order to do business with us. We need to be able to communicate in a way that people just get. They just get it without thinking. So the golden mistake they were making by trying to explain how a coconut fiber works, they were asking their customers to think. Big no-no. So after 2 days, I do a two-day process, and this is my top-level consulting. I have very affordable programs for smaller businesses too. So I'm just talking about when I work with a company like Kokona, who are doing $8 million in sales. So it's a two-day process, and during that time, we came up with something much more important, because if you want to have your moisture vaporized, you are into performance. You're really into skiing. You're really into running. You're really into cycling. You're not just the, you know, I'll just go for a 10-minute jog person. You're someone who really cares about what you're doing. So we realized that their message should be all about performance. And I also advised them to change their name, which they did. And they're now call themselves 37.5, because that is the exact correct temperature that the human body performs best at. So that's in centigrade, not Fahrenheit. So they call themselves 37.5 because it then makes sense that they regulate your temperature, and they vaporize moisture, whether you're too hot or too cold, they keep you the right temperature. And the same year that they simply changed their brand message, I told them not to spend a single cent. They didn't even change their website. They didn't change their brochure. They didn't change their business cards. They didn't spend any money. I said, wait till the cash flow starts coming in and then pay for the new stuff from cash flow. That year, they closed out at $62 million.
Wow.
So they went from $8 million to $62 million. And so people say, well, why is this the saddest branding story you've ever told? I'm like, because I only got paid my fee. And I didn't have a cut. So the point is, though, people, if I could press a button and have people really understand, you could be sitting on a gold mine. But if you don't communicate it well, that gold will stay in the mine. So the most important thing you can ever have is communication. We can get really angry if someone insults us. We can melt if someone speaks to us in the right way. Communication is so important. And that's what a brand is designed to do, is to communicate, not just verbally, communicate visually, communicate through story, through point of view, through what we stand for, what we believe in. It's so important, and it's overlooked the majority of the time.
Wow, I like that. Well, what attributes would you say your ideal clients have?
Great question. The attributes, my ideal, you know, I kind of think ultimately when people start looking at who are your customers, and we all have to really know who our customer is, because we're going to be having a very important relationship with our customers. We need to know them well. We need to think of them like one of our primary relationships. And for those of us who are in committed relationships, you get to know your partner, and when it comes to birthdays, for example, you know what they don't want, and you know what they most likely would want. So we need to know our customers as well as that. We need to know what's important to them. We need to know what frustrates them. It's called psychographics. We need to know what their buttons are. What are their hot buttons? What do they really dislike, and what do they really like? Not just about what we do. We have to know them in a bigger picture. And what I've found over the years is the people who are most important to me, the customers I really love working with, the customers who do best, are people who genuinely are excited about being entrepreneurs or businesses. They want to change the world for the better. They want a legacy that they're proud of. They want to say, you know what, I did something good. I didn't just make a bunch of money. I did something meaningful. I built a brand. I built a company that people love doing business with. So there's a lot of people like this. That's what America's about, the land of opportunity. So the people that do best with world-famous company are the ones who are driven, who they're not the people who buy a program or buy a book and put it on the bookshelf and then wonder why nothing changed. They're people who take action. They're people who are coachable, who are open to suggestion, who are prepared to listen and prepared to change a few things, especially when we come up with really valuable brand messaging. And we do it. What we don't do is say, oh, let us find out what you want, and then we'll go away and we'll come back with what you need. We work on it together, because ultimately the customer or you have to own your brand. So you don't want it just delivered in a package. You want to have been part of the process, part of the solution. So we work with you, whether it's through a program or through consulting, or even if I do a workshop or a presentation, we work with you to help you get clear about what your brand message is. That's why my tagline is Voice Your Brand. We help businesses and people voice what's most important to connect with customers. So, in fact, I just want to share that anyone listening today who's serious about creating a brand, we're about to launch a new program online. It's an online program. It's an 8-week experience. And if anyone's interested in doing kind of a friends and family rate and being part of creating the program, meaning you'll get live sessions with me each week, which we'll record, and that will later become a product. If you're fine having your voice included, we're doing a very special program. You just have to email me to say you're interested in being part of it. There's only a few spaces, so you know, there will be a kind of a review process. But just email me, and my email is david@worldfamouscompany.com. So that's david@worldfamouscompany.com. And we will help you one-on-one get your brand, get your brand message, get your brand story, get your brand promise, get all the elements that go into creating a kick-ass brand. And it will be done at a fraction of the price it would normally cost, because you're agreeing to show up 8 weeks in a row and be part of a live recording experience to create something that many, many people will use to learn how to create their brand. So that's my offer for your listeners today, Les.
Wow, I like that offer. Hey, so, you know, I'm sitting here thinking that so often when we look at the media, we see kind of a sculpted idea of what's cool or hip or whatever, you know, kind of the collective storyline. What my question is if I'm a beginning entrepreneur and my value, my gift, doesn't really resonate with what I see in the media, have you seen clients that have come to you where they really didn't understand the value of what they had to offer, and then how that could be transformed once they recognized a deeper sense of the value of what they had?
Well, the way I'm going to interpret your question, and correct me, please, if I've misunderstood you, oftentimes people feel, well, why would anyone choose my business? We sell the same stuff as those people down the street, or just that feeling that there's loads and loads and loads of people who do what I do. Why would someone choose me?
Right.
That's often a problem. And so this is where I have the three D's. My name's David, so but David isn't one of them, but it's the three D's. And the three D's are this. First of all, there's a host of others. Just like the story at the very beginning of Branston Pickle, there's a host of relishes out there. So how do we start? We have to differentiate. And that's one of my favorite words. I think I must use it every day of my life. it's just a brilliant notion. We must differentiate. So that's the first thing I'm going to help people do, is we start by looking at the absolute truth. Why did you start your business? What's important to you? What did you think you could do better than anybody else? Or what was really upsetting you about what wasn't available? What made you go into this? Next, and this is, I mean, all of these three are really important, but there's a word you might have heard people using, and it's called disruptive, disrupt. Because, let me explain this, it's really important. When I was earlier explaining the distinction between branding and brand identity, and I said, once you've got your brand identity, you're then qualified to involve yourself in branding. And let's just take a website, for example, or a video, or a business card, or whatever one of those branding activities would be that you're involved in. The last thing we can afford to do is look at everybody else in our industry and say, oh, look, that's how it's done. That's how I'll do it. That's the biggest mistake we can make. Because if we start emulating the way business is so-called done in our industry, you might as well go out and buy camouflage and bolt it onto yourself and then say, I don't understand. I've bought all this camouflage and now no one can see me. It's like people, I see businesses all the time spending money time, resources, to become just like everybody else, therefore invisible, hard to choose. If you saw a huge display of green apples, how could you, and you owned one of those apples and you want your green apple to be chosen, how is it going to be chosen when they're all green and they all look the same?
Right.
We have to differentiate, number one. And then when we do our branding, which is really the clothing of the company, it's the way that we go about communicating, we have to own the word disruptive. We cannot afford to be the same as everyone else. Therefore, and if you hear radio adverts that are just the same, we tune out. If we see advertising in magazines that are just the same, we tune out. If we see a banner on an internet site, we tune out. If we get boring newsletters and boring sales emails every day, we tune out. We have to be disruptive. And the secret to how we should be disruptive goes back to the brand DNA, the brand identity that we help you work on. So we help you with the brand DNA, and then we help you come up with disruptive branding solutions. So number one is differentiate, number two is disrupt, and the third D is deliver. And what I mean by deliver is we have to deliver unique experiences to our customers every single day. So we have to, let me just use a really silly example. You go to the hairdressers to get your hair cut, and the hair salon says, would you like a cup of coffee? And you say, great, yes. And then you go back a month later. If they don't offer you that coffee, the customer's like, where's my coffee? What happened? They might not say anything, but once you've started offering something, you need to be able to consistently deliver no matter how busy you are. So don't go offering myriads of crazy hard things to deliver. You have to deliver experiences which you have systems and processes for so that your customer can rely on that same experience over and over until you modify it. So the three important elements: differentiate, disrupt, and deliver. And if you can do those three things, once you know your brand identity, you are in business. You are on track. You will do well. You will connect with people. They will want to do business with you. They might even say things like, I love your brand, or I love your company, or I love doing business with you. And then you know you're onto something.
Well, what arenas of companies do you work with? I mean,
that's a good, important question, because so many people want to specialize, saying, I only work with insurance companies, or I work with plumbers. I don't do that.
You don't work with plumbers, really?
I do work with plumbers, and I do work with insurance companies. I don't only choose one type of industry, because I'm connecting with a belief system. I'm connecting with a certain type of drive and energy in people. And it keeps if I went and only worked with one type of business, that would be a disaster. I help choose one business to stand apart from everyone else who does what they do. So my clients range all over the place. I've got some really exciting clients. I mean, one of them at the moment is Bacardi USA, huge multi-billion-dollar company, because they want their salespeople to all understand that each of them are a unique brand. So I'm helping them focus on what each of them delivers, as well as startups who've been funded with investor resources. One of my clients have a customer management system. They're called Nutshell.com. Really great company. And since they rebranded with me, their conversion rate this year, we just worked with them in February, their conversion rate has improved over 40%.
Oh, very nice.
So 40% more people are going through and agreeing to sign up than were before because they relate to the message. Simple as that.
Sure. Well, you know, I really like what you do because you work with people and you showcase or highlight the value and the purpose that they have. And that's, for me, that's, you know, it's like if somebody asks you, well, do you feel what you do is powerful? And it's like, well wait a minute. People are raw power. The potential of us human beings is such a powerful thing. And I really like what you do is you look at them with the eyes that can see that value, and then you mirror that value back to them to the point where they believe it at even a deeper level, and then they can show up in a most genuine and authentic way. Because if you're not truly having fun and feeling passionate about what you're doing, you're just, you know, you're spinning your wheels. So I really like how you've got these bases covered. Well, you know,
yes,
go ahead.
Sorry. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, we've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, we've got Instagram, we've got Pinterest, we've got all these different methods to get the word out. But people are always like, oh, well, tell me the secrets about Facebook or tell me the secrets about LinkedIn. The thing is, as long as, just like the telephone, you know, when we were kids, you'd get the baked bean can with a piece of string, and you could talk to each other on a pretend telephone through a piece of string. The point is, as long as on one end of the device, whether it's Facebook, the telephone, a text, whatever it is, as long as there's a person on one end and a person on the other, then your brand is really important because we need that heart connection. We need people to really relate to what we're talking about. The rest of it is just a device, the newest, hottest device. There'll be a new one next week. There'll be a new one next month. There'll be a bunch of new ones next year. But as long as there are people on each end, your brand is really, really important.
Well, I like that. Well, we're almost out of time. I want to make sure that people know how to get connected with you. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Now, we are, of all things, in the middle of rebranding, and I can't wait for our new website to go live. It's not there now. It's just a landing page. So we took our old site down because we've totally changed. New product offerings, new opportunities. So email me if you're interested in being part of our program. If you've got questions, if you want to know about consulting, whatever it is, just email us. Use my email address, david@worldfamouscompany.com. So worldfamouscompany.com. And thank you so much. I really loved talking with you today, Les.
I really like your authentic way. You're just so genuinely you, and it really shines. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
You know, when we honor our potential as human beings and we grow ourselves, we get information. When we trust ourselves and we take action, we get information, and that information can grow our intuition. When you pay attention to what you prefer, and then you show up for yourself every day in very simple and subtle ways, you learn about who you are at a deeper level. And as you do that over time, you change who you are. You grow yourself. You grow yourself so you're a new person at the end of every day. How cool is that? Well, you grew yourself right now by showing up for the show, and I want to thank you for that. You know, life's a wonderful thing when you can show up for it, and you've done just that. I'm your host, Les Jensen, and until next time, take it.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.